Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. This is Pastor Barry Freese on KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in downtown Overland Park. Had to turn that headphone down.
You're squeaking, Jim. You're squeaking.
Headphone was way up there.
We're glad to have you. Bob has taken the Reverend Dr. Bob Hills, taking the day off, as have both our rabbis and your colleague Bill Scholl. So here we are.
Here we are. Are we the B team?
You know, I am, because I'm Barry.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here.
Very
too.
Happy. Okay. Well, we're happy to be here. We're happy to be on the air in Topeka and the Big Talker, KMOJ, of course, Kansas City, KCMO Talk Radio. The number to call, 816-576-7710. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was kind of thinking last night, as I was contemplating getting up early, that I might have to swim here today. I'm just kind of wondering if anybody out there, if you're having any issues with flooding today, if it is a repeat of what was that, last weekend or 2 weekends ago that we had the flood?
Yeah, that was really something, particularly
that was
around State Line and 103rd.
3rd Street, Indian Creek, actually some of its tributaries are right kind of in our backyard, too.
I mean, they
never really get too full, but I've never seen them overflow its banks, but I know that they're contributing to the problem downstream as you get towards State Line. I know the area around Metcalf and 103rd Street at one time used to have some serious flooding, but they did made some levees and they did some work to really cut that out. You know, there was I remember in the 90s, I was in West Virginia and I was seeing in the Charleston newspaper there a picture of Metcalf and 103rd Street and a rescue of some teenage girls going on. And but I know they've done a lot of things there. I'm just wondering if there's anything planning to happen to help people. I mean, is that a good use of the government to help people avoid floods?
Yeah, it's certainly been. I grew up in eastern Missouri, and the whole conversation of what the Mississippi River does, the Illinois River, Missouri River, is a big one. One of the fairly long time, not in religious history, but in local history. Stories goes about how the Corps of Engineers goes about attempting to tame the flooding, tame the rivers. I always was amazed at these attempts to keep the water out of the lowlands. Heard somebody say, well, don't they know that's where God puts the extra water? In the town where I spent a lot of time, it's called St. Charles, and just opposite St. Charles, there was a big commercial levee, and then the historic area, First Capital, Missouri, and so forth, areas is subject and exposed to more flooding because of the
some of those farmlands too that go along the rivers. They get a great contribution, assuming the water's not polluted, to their mineral and fertility.
Yeah, that could be a big assumption. You know, contributions are actually a big topic. Private school choice advocates cheered. This is from the U.S. News again. A ruling that the U.S. Supreme Court made recently, they framed it as a big win, and it was a church in Missouri, Trinity in Columbia, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Justices ruled 6-3 that the government could not refuse a playground grant to a church just because it was a church. Private school choice program advocates like that a lot, and with Secretary DeVos being a big choice advocate, choice in the context of schooling, that's been something. I'm interested if our listeners think the government money should be used for, you know, a playground in a private school or help subsidize but you know, but you vouchers know, or those kind of things.
As the Catholic Church has lots of its own schools and playgrounds, I noticed that none of them are fenced off. I mean, they're used by the community after hours, after school hours, during the week weekends. So they, I think they serve a community purpose. And I don't know if that was weighed, weighting the decision at all.
I confess I did not read the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, I never heard it talked about, but I heard people on various talk shows discuss the topic, but my feeling I wanted to scream out to the radio was, it's a private institution, but it's serving the public good because it's not just used during the day for the students. It's there for the community.
Yeah.
People use it from all over the place.
All the time. The way to scream out here is to call 816-576-7710. Whether you're in the Kansas City market, the Topeka market, or a part of that church that the Jim alluded to in Topeka.
The infamous, notorious church. Yeah. Well, you know, I think even things that we've talked about this morning might infuriate somebody. Did it raise your, what was that, ire or your
how about hackles?
Hackles, blood pressure. Let us know at 816-576-7710. Give us a call. We're getting kind of lonely here, so.
I don't know how I feel about you saying that.
Well, we're not asking for contributions like in public radio.
Oh, yeah, maybe we should.
I used to do that, but long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, I'd be interested to hear, folks, this area, you know, that I was talking about in the flooding is St. Charles County, Missouri. It's easy to see because it's the peninsula essentially formed by the Mississippi and Missouri rivers where they come together. If I remember, I heard the public school superintendent one time talk about the high percentage of people that are in Catholic schools in St. Charles County and what a huge impact that would have on the government systems, the public systems, if that were not there, and how that would affect the student-teacher ratios, all the resources.
Yeah, that's a very Catholic area.
It is. Even the Jews in that market know what parish they grew up in my opinion. I did, you know,
really?
As a Protestant, sure.
Really? It would surprise me, and I've got some relatives over there, the number of Catholic high schools. I mean, those are expensive to run. It's a stronghold there, and yet they don't receive the same federal funding as public schools, but they don't, you know, public schools don't have that tuition that that one has to pay to go to private school.
That's true.
And that flooding, I also hear people say that, they shouldn't build so close to the river. They shouldn't build in floodplains. It's their own fault. The government shouldn't bail them out. Leave that to the churches to do that. And I know some people are upset with how things were handled. What do you think? Give us a call.
In the era of a big flood was in 93, and that affected much of the Midwest. The church I was in at the time, there were people that said that was God's punishment for allowing gambling. They were very serious about it and got quite animated about the conversation. You know, in your opinion, does God inflict large-scale punishment on institutions, on countries, on regions?
Well, I think there's a thing called grace, and sin kind of breaks that grace. I don't think anyone can say that a particular event is a punishment from God, and I hear that a lot, especially when things happen to people that are tragic, and others want to say it's a punishment from God, whether it's the death of a child or a disease that someone is fighting. That is definitely backward thinking and a misunderstanding, I think. But maybe you have a different opinion than I do. I happen to think that God allows the natural order to take place. He can bring about a greater good because of disasters and things that happen according to the natural law. But whether he is directly, I don't think God directly wills evil or directly wills, but he can passively allow it to bring about a greater good.
God will allow evil. Well, We'll talk more about that after this break. You're listening to KCMO Talk Radio. You've got Religion on the Line.
Join the discussion on Facebook.
I've got strong opinions on Facebook.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former BMW, Mazda, Subaru, and Toyota owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollandBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollandBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Kansas City's homegrown bank, Security Bank of Kansas City. With 43 area branches, look for the leaf.
Santa Fe Auto Sound started in 1967 during the Summer of Love.
It's our 50th anniversary. Can you believe it? We've been adding your music and new technology to the car since 1967.
Well, our customers always remind us that we've been here forever. Hi, I'm Scott with Santa Fe Auto Sound. Join us now through August 12th as we celebrate our 50th anniversary with the Summer of Love sale. We'll have cool new technology like Apple CarPlay and dash cams.
Stop right now and search Santa Fe Auto Sound, 83rd and Santa Fe in Overland Park.
Groovy.
Want to know the secret that all those flipping houses gurus won't tell you? Flipping multi-unit properties is easier and more profitable than flipping single-family homes. With over 17 years of experience, we here at RE Mentor will show you the art of buying and selling multi-unit properties. Come spend the afternoon or evening with our team of experts, and we'll show you how to put $10,000 to $30,000 in your pocket over the next 90 days. This two-hour class will teach you the art of the multi-unit flip and long-term hold. You'll learn how to buy, hold, and sell multi-unit properties with no money down, no credit, and no risk. You risk nothing but have everything to gain. This intensive two-hour real estate class is coming for the first time ever to the Kansas City area soon. Call 800-680-2257 to secure your seat now. This seminar is free to the first 30 people that call. Change your life now and learn the art of the multi-unit flip or long-term hold. Call 800-680-2257 now.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO. Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You're on KCMO Talk Radio. You've got Religion on the Line. You're also listening on Topeka's The Big Talker, KMAJ. We're happy to have you here. Buck called 816-576-7710, and we're happy to have Buck on the line. Hey, Buck.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. You called in and wanted to talk about God and baseball.
I have a peculiar question.
All right.
In the effort to eliminate discrimination,
mm-hmm.
the ballparks have always had Christian days and nights, and now because of that, there's a lot of influence on various baseball organizations to have nights for various other beliefs.
Sure.
And how do you go about as an organization such as the Cardinals or the Royals saying, okay, we're going to do this for Christians and not do it for Buddhists, Hebrews, and any other religion that wants to do it? I see how you do it for the such and such Methodist churches or the Baptist churches or a group, but I don't see how you do it and how these organizations can continue to do it without discriminating against somebody having, say, for an example, a Christian day per se.
That's interesting.
Your comment.
Well, let's talk about this. This is Pastor Barry Freese, retired Methodist pastor, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary Catholic Church.
So, Jim, what do you think about this? Should the ballparks or ball teams be required to cover a broader spectrum?
Well, I don't believe they should be made to do that. I mean, they're private organizations. They do use public facilities sometimes, publicly owned facilities. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what that means. It's Christian Day. What all does that entail? Tell me about that. I've heard of it, but I don't know what that means. I mean, do you have to show your Christian ID card to get in or something?
Tell us what you're thinking about, Buck.
Well, the Cardinals promote various events as a Christian day at the ballpark.
Yes.
What does that look like?
They've had Methodist days. What
I'm saying is doing that at all, not inherently starting a discrimination process that you cannot stop. How do you do that as an organization like that and not mistreat somebody? And not mistreat a fair number of somebody.
Yeah, by leaving them out, by not encouraging, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm still a little confused. Are they only selling tickets to Christians? Are they turning non-Christians away at the door? Or is it just a thing that, hey, let's just make this Christian day. Marry all your friends from your Christian church to sell tickets. I don't know what that means, and I'm not sure how, I don't know. We have Wichita State Day at the Royals. I know, or they have a ball cap that has the shocker on it, or KU or MU.
Right. But don't the Royals have Methodist Day? Do they not have Catholic Day at the ballpark?
I don't know. Yeah. I never heard that.
Goodness.
That would be news to me. But,
okay, you didn't go.
I missed that on that one. So.
All right.
Because when I go, they lose.
You have to ask the ball clubs what they mean by it. But,
if you had a magic wand.
Certainly a relatively common promotion that you run into around. I mean, they have them for a variety of different things. If you start looking, I just use Christian as an immediately quick example for this radio program.
Well, the discrimination issue is a challenge. We've heard recently that the Federal Department of Justice is looking at what some people call reverse discrimination programs that favor people of color or minorities, and thereby exclude white folks. Is there a discrimination story in your life story that comes to mind that's triggered this question about ballparks?
It was just a question that came up in looking at various promotions that organizations were running, sports organizations specifically, and there were a variety of them that came up, but when they are generic, if you look at them, and you'd have to ask, again, the organizations what they mean when they say them, but they are specific to a belief, not a group. And that's the part that I'm questioning, and I'd like to know what you guys think about having these various private organizations, that are also service the public, dedicating a night to a, to specific beliefs, and your thoughts as to how that it can ever be equal, or if it doesn't even matter. If it makes no difference at all in the context, what it's called, or how it's approached.
I don't know anybody in the Royals organization. I know vaguely some people in the Cardinals organization. It would seem that the basic assumption is they're simply trying to sell tickets. And it's not necessarily, an endorsement.
I'm asking you guys feel about that from a religious perspective.
Well, I'm not in one of the groups like that's being excluded.
Is that a positive thing? Is that a negative thing? Do you see that in any context as being problematic as the...
I guess I have a neutral opinion about it because I'm not sure where the discrimination is happening, other than in the name, other than saying, oh, we'll make it Christian Day. But what does that mean? Disney World used to have LGBT Day for Magic Kingdom. What does that mean? Are they discriminating against heterosexuals? I don't know. It's just, I don't know. We have these and then we get...
Well, in today's world, promotion is worth so much. And having one of those is a promotional for that belief. Whatever belief and whatever promotional they have, that has inherent value to an organization.
Well, I think ultimately they want to sell tickets. And maybe that's they found a way to do it that way. I don't know. I mean, I get antsy when private corporations try to do something that people think that the government should regulate. That's, you go down a dangerous path when you do that. But,
I'm not talking regulation. I'm just asking where the lines from a religious point of view come as to what you guys think about that, as to who's, in a broader religious global sense, who's, is this unfair because one group gets the publicity and others don't? Is it okay because, well, everybody can try and get it? Is it? I'm more interested in your opinions than any concept of legality or legislation. That's not really in my...
It occurs to me that if I were not in one of these groups, now I'm in one of these groups, I identify with the Christian groups, that I would notice that there was a day, a night, for one group and not for another.
And does that mean that I wouldn't be allowed in, or that it would be... as the minority group or the non-participating member of this group, would I be discriminated against? Would I be an easy target? Does that really happen? I mean, that's the sensitivity. I think that would be a concern. I just don't know.
I'm trying to remember, having gone to a few Methodist nights, in this case at the ballpark, if there was a prayer before the game. I mean, we sing the national anthem, we pray, in that way about the country.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if there was a prayer before the game that would or wouldn't have been there if it was a particular religion.
I went one night when it was a CPA night. My wife's a CPA, and it was the day that the Royals won the division in 2015. Mm-hmm. It was a great game toward the end of the season.
So probably some people thought it was an answer to prayer.
I guess. Yeah. We were all sitting in one section of the stadium, and... I don't think any.
You were segregated.
I think the IRS was on the other side of the stadium. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting question.
Well, thank you for your comments. I sure do appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
God bless, and thanks for calling. Wow. For some reason or other, my thoughts segued to yoga. We recently had Yoga Day nationally, and is yoga Christian? Is baseball only associated with certain religions? Is yoga only associated with certain religions? We'll roll that around and see what our folks think about that. 816-576-7710 is the number to call. You're listening to The Big Talker, KMAJ in Topeka, and KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City.
Myths about free trade fly around so fast that it's impossible for our debunking machines to keep up.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
Rather than debunking the many myths about free trade, let me give a rundown of what economics and history have shown to be true. Most importantly, free trade makes everyday Americans better off by giving us access to the best and lowest priced goods in the world. This allows the United States to focus on goods in which we're most competitive, thereby increasing productivity and wages. Also, about half of what we import is used domestically to produce other goods, so free trade means more economic growth and a higher standard of living. In short, free trade has been one of the main reasons the U.S. is as rich as it is, and will continue to be one unless we start believing the BS.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
CBS News Updates. The UN Security Council voting unanimously to impose new sanctions on North Korea over its ballistic missile testing. A ban on exports aims at depriving North Korea of $1 billion in annual revenue. Here's U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley.
Variety of options, and we are willing to deal with those options based on their actions. We are happy to talk with them, but they have to stop this reckless action in order for us to do that.
North Korea's recent missile testing in the spotlight in Manila, Association of Southeast Asian Nations holding bilateral talks with U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the BBC's Jonathan Head.
He wants an absolute public show of diplomatic isolation of North Korea, real resounding language to back up those sanctions. He'll be fleshing out what those sanctions mean in his bilateral meetings with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi later today, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov as well, to make sure that they really mean something.
CBS News.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Going through your Sunday, starting off with the possibility of a few showers in the morning. Going into the afternoon, chances will only continue to drop. Maybe a few peaks of sunshine, definitely drying out by the evening with highs in the low 70s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Bruno Williams.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former BMW, Mazda, Subaru, and Toyota owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
Batten down the hatches. A pension tsunami is about to sweep the land.
This is the Free Market Minute with Tim Jones.
The New York Teamsters Local 707 just became the first pension fund in the nation to officially run out of money. Other Northeast funds are teetering on the brink of collapse, and the Central States Pension Fund, a massive fund that covers the Midwest and the South, could follow suit. Fiscally conservative lawmakers have been warning that defined benefit pensions have been woefully mismanaged for years. Most politicians don't have the courage to dare speak the truth that promises made to workers for many decades may have to be broken. How to fix this massive approaching storm? Lawmakers must first be honest that overly rosy predictions will not bear the promised fruit. Then, massive pension reforms must be completed. Defined contribution plans, where workers have some skin in the game, and more honest projections will be the only way to fix a national crisis in much need of major repair.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
According to our accusers, the free market is stealing all of our manufacturing jobs, letting our competitors humiliate us, and ruining our culture. Ouch.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
There are certainly trade-offs, but the free market is a win-win deal. Just because trade with another country makes them richer doesn't make us poorer. We get their products cheaper. It's not their fault that we're losing manufacturing jobs. That's mostly due to automation. We're becoming a service and information economy. Every culture at every time in history warned that the new generation is going to hell in a handbasket. I know we have issues, but if the disco era couldn't destroy American culture, Snapchat isn't going to do it. We have plenty of work to do, my friends, and free markets must be a part of it.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Phil Valentine, weekday afternoons from 4 to 6.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM, and The Big Talker in Topeka, KMAJ. This is Pastor Barry Fries, retired United Methodist minister, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in downtown Overland Park, Kansas.
Deacon Jim, it's good to be here with you today. We're sitting in for Bob and Bill and both rabbis today, so trying to hold down the fort. I'm grateful for our callers, including Billy. Good morning, Billy. How you doing?
I'm doing good this morning.
What's going on?
Nice. Well, I had, I'm always curious about this. Years ago, a show, Focus on the Family, I'm sure you've all heard of that.
Yes.
Well, Chuck Colson was on there after his little incident with the law back in the day. He ended up with a prison ministry. And I remember something he spoke out on that show, that 80 to 85% of the people that he had a direct line of communication with had no relationship or a bad relationship with the father. So
their
show was their
biological father.
Yes, the biological father. So it's always been curious to me, and I have read a lot of studies of it. A lot of enough statistics are in that it has now kind of sort of been proven, and but it's never really talked about that this high crime rate that has gone on the last several decades is kind of right in line with the breakdown of the family unit and the continual breakdown of it, and then it's kind of parts that malfunction and don't work right because of a single parent, and you know, there's a lot of little facets to it, but I was just curious what you gentlemen thought about that, about the breakdown of the family unit, and it seems like it's something that's never talked about. The things that are talked about is now that the bad things are happening, we need more legislation for this or, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah,
and it never goes, and it may be that churches do speak of this in the pulpit, but we're not in all those pulpits, so we can't tell if it's spoken about, but it seems like it's never spoken about the family unit just being so deteriorated now as part of the cause for a lot of the crime and the malfunctioning of a lot of our young people.
Well, that's an interesting angle. That, you know, many churches have the word family in their actual church name. I've heard other people talk about the whole use of the word father and the male gender for God, that's off-putting. Your premise is that the family structures are different today than they were at some time in the past, and therefore that's resulting in a lot of crime. Am I getting your drift
yes,
there?
Kids out of wedlock and then single parent families as a result of that.
Yeah,
and you know, so it is kind of multifaceted, but there are enough studies if people would ever look at it that the family unit and how it's deteriorated.
How do you connect that with faith, Billy? Do you prescribe or practice a particular brand of faith?
Well, I'm kind of a non-denominational. A lot of my family are Baptists, so I mean, I am a believer, and I have been for probably almost 50 years of my life.
Yeah.
But
I
just think the family unit, from my point of view, is very important. And it seems to me that I know a lot of politicians put very little emphasis or ever say anything about the fact that there's no solid family structure like there used to be.
Yeah, it's tough to regulate personal relationships. It's tough to regulate families.
Sure.
Some people want really to regulate women's bodies and what possibilities they have for health care. But overall, that's an interesting premise. I'm not sure. Now, would you associate the remedy with a what people might call a more conservative religious position?
Well, it's kind of funny. I think I've kind of changed over the years as far as how I actually, now I think that I'm older, I've given things a lot more thought. And
that's a good sign.
It is for me.
So what conclusions have you come to, Billy?
Well, I think that there's no encouragement for young people to me to stick to things. Seems to me everything is kind of a throwaway deal, and people get mad about something or angry and this and that, and they want to do away with it. They want to do away with their partner. And also, I don't know that it's discouraged, but, people nowadays seem to have a lot of babies out of wedlock for whatever reason. And I think that's got something to do with this situation. I mean, I personally just believe that babies born to a single parent family don't, and it's not something that is a sure end in a bad direction, but it's, well, it just doesn't make for us.
Yeah. Billy Jim's got a point.
Well, Billy, I agree with you. I think that, that a family unit is the basic unit of society. And when it's broken, society's broken. And,
yes,
I've seen this many times, and in at least in my experience in the churches, in the Catholic churches, that there are several churches with men's groups that specifically address this. You may not hear it as the topic of a homily or a sermon, but there is a grassroots kind of effort to help young dads, older dads, help their young sons.
That's good.
That happens. I think there people see that need. And your talk reminded me of something that happened to me just the other day. This is just an anecdote, but I was at a fast food restaurant sitting down, and this young man comes to me, and he sees I'm wearing my clerics because I'm serving as a chaplain in the church, and he sits down and just starts talking to me and about his family, his girlfriend, and some of his actions that were rather shocking, that the way he treats women. And then he talked about his dad in very vulgar terms. And this was just his way of life. This is just the way it is, you know, that he gets back at his a girlfriend when she cheats on him by cheating on her sisters. I mean, it's just a whole different culture than I'm expecting. And it sounds like there's no male figure. Even if there wasn't a biological father at home, I think there was no male figure to kind of show him what it means to get along in a world that has two genders, you know.
That's true. It's gone so far, so much water's passed under the bridge that it just seems to be a kind of a hopeless situation.
Well, don't lose hope.
Yeah, we live in hope. Billy, I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your call. Thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, good. You're listening to Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and Mike, thanks for your patience, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Mike dialed 816-576-7710. KCMO Talk Radio, Religion on the Line, and the Big Talker, KMAJ.
Kansas City's homegrown bank, Security Bank of Kansas City. With 43 area branches, look for the leaf.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former BMW, Mazda, Subaru, and Toyota owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Oreos are going to Mexico. Here's why you shouldn't boycott.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
Nabisco is actually following in the footsteps of Brock and Hershey. Just a bunch of evil corporations abandoning their nation? Not so fast. We have for decades protected the sugar industry, causing sugar prices to double and even triple. What we can see is that we've saved some sugar growing jobs. What we can't see is that for every sugar growing job we've saved, we've killed three confectionery manufacturing jobs. We've made it so expensive to make sweets here, these companies are forced to make them elsewhere. That's the problem with protectionism. We see small benefits, but we don't see the big costs. Protectionist policies just favor some over others.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Is right to work wrong for Missouri?
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rick Hafer.
Right-to-work laws basically allow anyone to work without having to join a union. Opponents do not want market forces to determine wages. One claim by opponents of right-to-work is that wages will fall. Adjusted for inflation, wages in right-to-work states are slightly lower than in non-right-to-work states. This shows that organized labor has successfully pushed up wages by restricting entry into many jobs. Are plumbers able to charge such high prices because they are highly skilled, which they are, or because unions restrict the number of plumbers you can call when your pipe bursts? Right-to-work laws increase competition in the labor market. This competition keeps wages in check. Right-to-work may not be good for organized labor, but increased labor market freedom is good for the economy.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
A 100 years ago at the Battle of the Somme, Germany, England, and France had over 1 million casualties in 4 months during World War I.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
1 million casualties. It's hard to remember that most of those men were some woman's 18-year-old boy. Of course, it is a brave and noble thing to die for one's country. But let's be honest, is that what we sent those boys to do? Or did the entire Western world get caught up in a sticky web of entangling alliances over an accidental assassination? No great ideas at stake, just death and killing, mustard gas and sickness and more death. Let us commemorate them by recalling the words of Thomas Jefferson. Peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations. Entangling alliances with none.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk.
They cover every story that's pertinent.
KCMO.
Let them deal with the issue.
I look at the country and it is very divided. And you've got to wonder where it's going to lead to.
Stand up and debate it. Let's solve the problem.
Kansas City's KCMO. If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got KCMO, religion on the line. This is Pastor Barry Freese, retired United Methodist minister, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in downtown Overland Park.
You're listening to KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM, and The Big Talker in Topeka, KMAJ. And you're also listening to Mike. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for calling 816-576-7710. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Reverend?
I'm good. Do I understand correctly that the flood is a topic for you? The big flood or any flood?
I missed news because we were driving. We drove through the night coming back from Branson.
Yes.
And it was one of those kind of rains where you feel like you need to pull off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking this is going to have ramifications somewhere. Now, you mentioned St. Charles. I haven't seen the news yet. Did they get hit real hard with flooding? Or?
Well, the flooding that prompted my comment was some years ago, 1993, there was a big flood, and we had people in the church that had the deep belief that God was punishing Missouri for legalizing gambling.
Right.
The more recent flooding in Kansas City was a lot of places. The one that I saw on the news was Warnell and 103rd and State Line.
Right.
How about you?
Well, that's big. I mean, those people aren't going to even reopen and stuff. But this thing Deacon, I think, said doesn't think that God does evil. Now, we hear that this climate situation is a real situation, and you got people now that religiously will say, well, it can't be man's action. I'm always fascinated by the concepts of common grace and general providence and stuff, and what is divine action.
Mm-hmm.
And like you got all kinds of scripture, like Isaiah 45:7, New King James, that says, I make peace and create calamity. I think another translation, it says, I make weal and woe, or it'll make I make good and I make evil. You know, it's like where God, you know, God's supposed words from Isaiah are saying that God is the author of all things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tendency, like, and it's sort of this gentleman was talking about the baseball night of
Christianity. Yes, Buck and,
there's sort of a thing where you live in a world where there's all these different religions. And I remember in Katrina, they tried to, a lot of, I don't want to say evangelical in a bad way or anything, but a lot of people tried to attribute Katrina-type event as divine retribution for allowing LGBT parades or something. You know, I mean, there's a tendency for people to interpret big natural events as divinely ordained.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Now, how do you think about that? Like you're modern and smart and everything.
Good. Well, I'm going to let Jim answer that.
Well, I was just commenting on the break that, I used to think that when I go to a Royals game and I sit on the third base side, they lose. And then if I sit on the first base side, they win. And I keep laughing because I said, boy, I wish I had that much influence over a Royals game.
Sure.
Or if I'm watching them or not watching them. Or they seem to score runs when I turn the TV off. You know, what I know, this is what I know, and I firmly believe that God does not will directly evil. That would go against his nature. But evil happens, and so that must mean that God permits it for his reasons. God set up this natural world, but he also gave us free will, and he honors that every day. And we have the will to do good, the will to do evil. When it comes to the natural law, there's certain sciences. I don't know. I don't have an answer for why earthquakes happen. I certainly don't want to attribute it to any particular thing. People used to say that the great tsunamis in the Indian Ocean were because Thailand was promoting sex trafficking.
Well, what about the significant increase in earthquakes in Oklahoma that directly parallels the fracking?
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
That's man-made. You know, I don't think everything is man-made that happens. Obviously, there's natural disasters.
Sure.
Is that an evil? Or is that maybe a lack of grace that we lost at the original sin of Adam and Eve? You know, when
Mike,
sin entered the
you've,
world.
You clearly have done some scripture research. If you had your say, how would this play out? What would be the situation?
I have come to believe that the concept of common grace is the natural order.
What's common grace mean for you?
That's the basic provision of the Almighty, you know, for us to work with.
Okay. So it's something
God
provides.
If I live in Overland Park and I'm doing pretty good, it's pretty good. If I live in Somalia or something and bandits are chasing me, it's still common grace. And to thing where I think people need to pay attention. There's a verse that you see again and again in different books, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think paying attention to reality, life and demands and stuff is a big part of the challenge we're given.
Yeah, I think you're right to cite different locations, too. Simply put, my house is on a bit of a rise, and flooding is a different issue for me in recent days than it would be if I was down in a low area by a creek. And I lived down in a low area by a creek for a while. It sure felt different depending on the location. I think God was still God and always will be God, yet the location made a big difference.
But if you had flooded your house, does that mean that God loves you less? I mean, let's go back to the World Series analogy or the Royals analogy. When they won the World Series, does God love the Royals more than he loves the New York Mets? You know, I don't think that that's
of
really...
course.
Well,
of
that
course.
One may be an example. you know, that's when you people start assigning events based on what they think God is trying to do. I think they find themselves in trouble a lot.
In my opinion, and Mike, I'd be interested in your reaction, when somebody does what you're talking about, which is associating an earthly event with God's preference, it really tends to indicate more about the human's preference and backing it up with God than it does necessarily a link with God. What do you think about that?
Right. I think it cheapens the coin a little bit. And I always think it's sort of arrogant to think you know God to the degree that you know that a certain action happened because
you have a particular
insight. Especially if you're
insight.
Judgmental, especially yeah. if you're right. being judgmental and triumphal about it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yep. That's a good point. Mike, I appreciate you calling. Best wishes and God bless on the week. So thank you very much for your call. Thank you for all our callers today. And thank you, Deacon Jim. It's good to be with you today, and I miss our rabbis. I miss
them
Bill,
too,
Bill and Bob. But yeah. Any closing words you'd have for us?
You talking to me or talking?
I'm talking to you.
You're talking to me. Well, I hope you all have a blessed day. It's I think we're going to get a break from the rain today, and the temperature's going to be nice. Go outside and be grateful for the graces that God's given you.
Great day for a baseball game.
That sounds or a doubleheader.
A doubleheader. Here we go. Is that a doubleheader today?
It's a doubleheader today.
Yeah, okay.
Last night was rained out.
Well, that's good. Many thanks to our producer engineer today. Rick's done a fabulous job keeping the bench online. Best wishes to each of you. We thank you for being with us. On behalf of myself and Deacon Jim, together we say, God bless.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively